Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back.
Welcome
to another edition. Well, we're somewhat back, you know, but I can't make too much noise because I have a baby sleeping in the background right now. But somehow we're going to make this show happening.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that and then I get quiet myself.
You know? You don't want to wake up the baby.
Of course not.
But, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a quiet edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again. And as I said, I have to speak quietly so I don't wake up the little one myself. So, hello, everybody.
No, anyway, I have you on a headset, so you can talk out loud as you want.
Well, of course, then. Yes.
And we have the lovely.
I believe we're missing somebody.
Oh, well, she's not important anyway. Unfortunately, folks, Anisha B cannot make it tonight. She's at the desk is now getting something done in her mouth.
Oh, Lord.
Isn't that what she told us?
I was waiting for the prerequisite, you know, hot rodism. All right.
Anisha is always having something done with her mouth or inside her mouth. That's all I could say. I'm not saying anything else.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call in is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Okay, we have an hour show, so let's get a few topics out of the way. On this show, for quite some time, we want to talk about various topics. Fun topics, sexual topics, relationship topics, all type of topics. I don't want to hold nothing back. There's also topics, as Sean mentioned a few times, that we want to talk on the show, but due to recent events, there's always something happening, we keep pushing these topics back and back and back. And sometimes we do forget about that we had these topics. And we did research about them. And the topics I'd like to address in general for tonight and future, I do want to talk about bullying. I do want to talk about abortion. I do want to talk about sex more. I do want to talk about parenting. These are important topics that people do talk about, but they do not address it or find ways to maintain the problem of these issues that we face today. You cannot worry about the person who's running for president to help you with these issues in life. We have to take care of them ourselves or seek help with these issues that we go through in life. And one of the issues I like to talk about, one of the topics, which I understand it, but I don't understand part of it, so maybe Sean Black will help me understand this topic a little bit more, is depression. Depression is one of those things that I believe we all go through in life at some point. I don't care who you are or what you do. I don't care if you're rich or you're poor, black, white, Asian, sexy, or ugly, I believe to a certain degree in your lifetime, you get some type of depressed or some type of stress. So as we'll carry on with this topic, Sean, we'd like to talk about the people who might not know what it means. What does depression mean?
Exactly.
The definition.
And the definition of depression, which is something that a lot of people, as you just stated, go through. Speaking of how many people go through it, we're talking over 15 million Americans a year, on average, deal with some form of depression, which is basically an illness that comes in different forms. You got major depression, you got seasonal affective disorder, you have bipolar disorder, very different kinds of depression and different varying, I would say, strengths, weaknesses based on chemical imbalances in the brain. Environmental issues that happen, things that happen in a person's life, upbringing, how a person is raised, those kinds of things are always end up being a determining factor in whether somebody goes through depression, how they deal with it, how many times can somebody go through certain issues in their life, and what it translates to afterwards. And there's always like that cause and effect kind of thing where if something happens to somebody, how do they snap back from it? And if they are able to snap back from it, some people are much better handling bad things in life or things that could bring anxiety, those kinds of things. And then you unfortunately have those that feel trapped, those that feel that they that nobody understands them. And those are the kinds of things that happen when we talk about a lot of the issues and that people have when it comes to depression. The other thing that we also don't really talk about as much is, you know, certain things that we can do to help people with depression, or at least bringing it up so that people can look at it and not feel ashamed or feel that they're bringing other people down. And that's a very hard thing to talk about with a lot of people. It's a very sensitive topic.
True, it's a very sensitive topic, but like you said, everybody needs help. How can you look for help? How can I help you if I'm depressed myself?
Exactly.
You know, one hand washes the other. It's all, like I said, there's all types of depression. One of the most common ones is a bipolar.
Yes.
Depression. That a lot of people don't realize is very high out there and affect a lot of people indeed.
Yes, and it's very, for a lot of people, there are a lot of different symptoms of different types of depression, and there is also, there's nothing to be ashamed of if you know or you feel that you are diagnosed with a form of depression to get the help that you need, because we've looked at it people on TV talk about, we've heard lots of athletes have gone through it, a lot of actors, actresses. So it's not just, you know, celebrities that have gone through it. Regular, normal, everyday people have gone through depression. There are a lot of different types, as I stated, of symptoms that go of depression and different causes. Now, for some people that are out there, they don't realize, well, maybe what kinds of depression are out there or what kinds of symptoms. Some people may have different manic depressive symptoms, which is a little more inbred as far as a stronger type of depression that really can seem to alter a person's mood. But if you notice people that have a persistent, sad, anxious mood, always in a particular mood, or you've noticed that they're a particular mood and then they switch very frequently, or the slightest thing will change that mood. Sometimes that they're always happy and then that they're always sad, or at the blink of an eye, somebody may just burst into tears or outbursts of anger, those kinds of things, feelings of guilt, helplessness, feeling hopeless, overly pessimistic or overly optimistic. And then you see a shift in behavior, changing in appetite, you know, weight loss for those that get so depressed that they don't eat. Changes in behavior that is completely out of the ordinary.
Or that person might eat more food.
Yes. It happens both ways, because there are people that won't eat at all. Then there are some people that will tend to just engorge on food because they're depressed to make themselves feel better. So there are different kinds of, like I said, the severities of those symptoms. And the causes of it, there's no real one single cause of depression. But like I stated earlier, it happens in different stages, some more extreme. Sometimes we hear of people that are so depressed that they get suicidal thoughts. Some people feel that that's the only way to escape the prison that they're in their mind and in their emotions. So some people go through lots of different varying stages of depression. And when that happens, you want to let that person, if they can recognize it, get the help that they need. But at the same time, we've also lived in a society now where if you have depression or if you need help, you want it to be readily available to somebody, but to that person, they may feel that, oh, I'm a failure, it's embarrassing, who would I turn to, nobody can understand where I'm coming from. And those are the kinds of things that we have to get over as a society to make sure that we have those conduits of help and information to get people the help that they need without making them look like there's something wrong with them, and treat them and their issues that they are going through with the respect that it deserves.
Okay, and there's another symptom of depression that assigns reckless behavior, drinking and alcohol abuse. We all know someone who's drinking heavily because they're depressed or taking drugs because they're depressed. It's funny how you take something negative, knowing that it's throwing your body into what you think will help you in your moods, but it really doesn't. But when you're thinking negative, you want to take something negative into your body, so you go smoke, whatever, take cocaine, or have a drink at the bar and drink like a bottle of whiskey or vodka.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, I love to drink. Anisha B. loves to drink. Sean Black does not drink, but he's a loser. But besides that, we drink because we like to enjoy ourselves. We drink for different reasons. We drink because we in celebration. But I know a lot of people, because I'm a bartender also, people that come to the bar and drink heavily day and night. Like they want to drink their life away. I know people who take drugs that are trying to waste their life away. That's how they seek treatment, even though it's the wrong treatment. Sean Black, is depression a disease? Can it be curable?
Well, depression can be treated. It's very, very treatable, depending on the diagnosis and how it's treated, how it's discovered, and when it's discovered. And that's the thing that I wanted to harp on that a lot of people don't realize, is the fact that if treated properly and diagnosed properly with either a clinical psychologist, you can get medications that can actually help counteract the feelings that people have, because a lot of forms of depression are just a chemical imbalance. Some people think that it's something that they have dominion over on their own, and in a lot of instances, it's something that they physically can't change on their own without medication. Others have certain forms of depression that they go through that they need just treatment, clinical help, understanding what the symptoms are, because something may have caused it. Maybe a death in the family, or a loss of a job, a bad relationship. Things of that nature can cause depression. And the two main types of depression that we talk about is like the normal depression that you hear about with people, they don't feel good about themselves, and that's initially called unipolar, which is just for themselves, whereas then you have bipolar depression, which is when people feel good on one side and then they take that extreme drop, and it's like a complete antithesis in behavior from one day to the next. So you don't know whether this person is going to be happy all day and then change into a very dark, deep mood. And it varies in a different degrees. So if treated the right way, medication can help, just outpatient therapy, and just going over certain parts of that particular that behavior and the things that are going into trying to decipher how it happened, those things can help in the long run.
Okay. I'll do you one better. Well, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, WWE former wrestler Chyna had passed away,
mm-hmm.
most likely to a drug overdose. For people that don't know who Chyna is, she was a former female wrestler who made history in wrestling in more ways than one. But she took a lot of drugs because she had a lot of demons. So
yes.
I don't know her well, but I like to say, to a certain degree, she was depressed. She had a lot of demons, like I said. So she took drugs. Most likely, she had a drug overdose.
Mm-hmm.
How can you help someone who, with her status, who's rich, who can afford to go get help?
Exactly.
Who probably did want to get help, but was not good enough. Did I say she committed suicide? No. But I would not be surprised if the overuse of the drugs led to her death.
Yes. And a lot of times what we read about of people that have been depressed, where they unfortunately pass away, sometimes drugs become part of it, and it's because of sometimes what the drugs do chemically while the person is in that depressed state may not help that person out in the long run of trying to get them back to where they can be on a mental baseline to get them back to getting the help that they need and trying to see through it. So that's a hard thing as well, because it touches everybody. And those are the kinds of things that really, really are the key in the trying to find out what it is. And as I've stated before, when we've talked about other topics in the past months and months and months, and we hear about maybe a particular celebrity passing away, or we hear about an arrest that happened because somebody was, you know, they might have been depressed, or like we hear about some of the racists that have gone on and have unfortunately killed other people, one of the main things is talking about as far as when we talked about guns, how we have to make sure that people that aren't mentally ill or aren't clinically depressed are not in positions to get weapons and those kinds of things. So you have to make sure that the treatment is there for the people that need it. The problem is, one, we live in a society where especially males don't talk to anyone. Because as a male, you're taught when you're young, when a lot of instances, you keep it inside, quote unquote, real men don't cry. Real men, they internalize everything because they have to be tough. They have to have that outer exterior has to be tough to display to the world. And that is the way most males, especially in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, you would hear about it. That's how they were taught to be raised. The problem is when you feel an internal issue, you can't really turn to anyone because you're kind of taught not to go outside when it's perfectly fine to do that.
Okay, well, you see, you hear Kato clearing out his throat, so I don't want him to be depressed. Go ahead, Kato, take it away. What do you have to say?
Well, first, if I could just gotta say good evening, guys. You know, now that you're talking about depression and all, there's a lot of causes to that, and it's a very deep topic to talk about because you have many causes of depression. Like, say, for instance, something happened in someone's childhood, like child abuse or child neglect, and also you have sexual abuse in children, too, that could lead to depression when they get older. You know, and also let's talk about bullying. Or natural disasters, or medical diagnosis, or let's just say a catastrophic injury. You know, troubles in a relationship, jealousy, separation, financial problems, all of that could lead to a depressed state. And we've seen it a
you
lot, like Sean mentioned. Yeah. Go ahead.
Kato, you're very right about that. There's all the type of depression that everybody go through it.
Yeah.
So, Kato, what do you think the best way? If you've been touched as a child, like for example, all those Jared Foley, the subway guy, those victims who've been young, who trying to push it away, try to hide it, but they can't forget being touched or having sex or whatever happened. I don't know. How can they get rid of that in your mindset?
How could they get rid of it is by letting it out, because when a child is sexually abused, it leaves them traumatized. It leaves them confused and traumatized because some children are afraid to talk. And they carry that fear with them even as they grow older. And, you know, it plays in their head constantly that either a family member or a friend of the family committed such a horrible act against a child, and it stays with them.
Yeah.
And it leads to so much problems. It leads to so much mental problems that child grows up, especially when they're in their teenage years, it leads to drug use, or they end up becoming alcoholics, or they suffer a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
And that's
you
the
know?
Crazy part, you know. It's,
yeah.
It's one of those, like I said, it's a really dicey issue because so many different things, different factors go into that happening. So
yeah.
It's a matter of treating it with the respect that it deserves because a lot of people, they don't realize if you, let's say you see somebody on the street and
yeah.
as you talked about, bullying, which is one of those things that happens to everybody. It's happened to me when I was a kid. It's probably happened to you as a kid. It's happened
yeah.
to everybody.
It does.
And those kinds of things, so depending on the type of person you are and the support system you have, you probably will outgrow it. You may
yeah.
remember, you know, oh, I remember when I 20, 30 years ago when I was in school, such and such happened, but I'm a good person now. I understand it. Some people can look at it from that sense.
But
other
not
people,
everybody can.
So other people take it to the extent where it's like, why am I here? You know, and they can't really grasp or release that feeling that they had when they were
yeah.
bullied. And that's
and
a big strong factor in a lot of people going
and
through depression.
It makes them feel worthless.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're feeling worthless, you get to a state where you get to your lowest point,
mm-hmm.
to the lowest point ever. And it usually leads to suicidal thoughts. And that's
mm-hmm.
the sad part about it. That's why when you
okay,
hear
so,
these.
Sorry. So
yeah.
to be the devil's advocate, I think that's the main thing. We all go through stuff. We all have roadblocks. We all have craziness. Some
yeah.
worse than others. I cannot speak for Sean. I cannot speak for K-Dog. You know, I go through a lot of stuff. And you know what? We all go through stuff right now. But aside
yeah.
from suicide,
mm-hmm.
why people want to think about suicide like ending it all? Does it really end the pain? Does it really end the suffering?
Well,
for some people, it has.
What's the brainwash behind it?
Like you see, they just want to end it all. They just want to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And their only way to get out of it is to take their own life. And the scariest thing is that when someone is suicidal, trust me, the signs are there.
Mm-hmm.
They start giving up on things. They don't live happy. They're always sad. They're always talking about death. They're giving away their personal possessions. They lose all types of interest.
Mm-hmm.
They would much rather be alone. They don't want to be around anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is from what I've read from various people who have committed suicide, and they begin to write these suicidal notes,
mm-hmm.
like saying, oh, to everyone who I love, please forgive me. In case of my death, please do such and such and such. And next thing you know, you'll find that person, whether it's by taking pills or by slitting their wrists or shooting or a self-inflicted gunshot wound, they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sad part about it. And
yeah.
we've seen a lot of that happen with celebrities, anybody. I'm not
yeah.
even going to count just the celebrities, but anybody. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, what race you are, what gender you are. It's real out there.
Yeah.
This
and,
kind of problems happen.
And I can tell I can tell you based on a lot of the things that happen out there, I can go on personal experience for me because I went through that when I was a kid. You know, 11,
you
like I guess 10-ish,
or
10, 11 years old.
Well, what? Hold on. Why you was depressed? You saw your hairstyle?
Very funny. But actually what happened was that, you know, as I stated before, everybody gets bullied. You go through the bullying thing. And you get into that part where you don't feel like going to school. You don't feel like, you know, doing things. As you stated, one of those things that happens is that you kind of lose interest in things that you enjoy. So
yeah.
I noticed, even at that age, that I was going and sitting in dark rooms. You know, I didn't want to be around anybody. I didn't crack jokes. I was just very, you know, lone wolfish. I was a loner. Didn't do anything, stayed in, you know. And you'd have those thoughts that creep up in your head, like, you know, it just might be a good idea to just, you know, just end it. But I never got to that part because although you think about it, it's kind of like, well, what would that do to, you know, my mom? What would that do to my grandmother? What would that do to any family members? And if it wasn't for me going to a child psychologist, that really helped me. And I went through that for like about like 2 years as far as just the thought process and getting yourself clear. And you can kind of recognize now if you get the right help, what the feeling that you get when you like, you know, I can almost feel what it's like to start dipping into that thought process. And I haven't had those kinds of thoughts since then, you know. And it's more or less recognizing that it's okay to feel sad sometimes, or it's okay to, you know, it's not a good day, it's not a good week. So you can kind of go through that and not feel like it's your fault or there's something wrong with you. And the issue is that a lot of people that are in that situation, they don't have that thought process, or they don't have those valves to get to help themselves out. So I guess when you look at it from the standpoint of other people that are going through it, as long as they feel that there is help out there and that they're not alone, there's always that chance that they can be brought back from the brink. And I think that's the one thing that we have to respectfully find a way to help people get through that without that stigma all the time.
Yes, I understand that point, Sean. But once again, there's people, like I said, go out there, try to get the help. They take the pills. They go see professional help. They go talk to their family and friends, and they still cannot find that tone. They cannot find that right moment to get out of depression.
Exactly.
Chemicals or not, it is. People have tried. I know a lot of people have tried. And they still miserable,
you know,
the person to this day.
Yeah, and treatment is an individual thing. It has to be individual because the same treatment that you use for John Doe is not going to work for Jack Doe. And they may have different body chemistry, different chemical makeup. They might have different stimulus that they react to that may be different with different medications or with different treatments, and it has to be an individual thing. But once you realize that you had some kind of issue or you have some sort of problem that you're trying to deal with, then you can start getting the help. But it's that stigma that we've always put in this country on people that are either depressed or have gone through something that seems to be the main hurdle of getting people the help that they need.
You know what else, too? There's something else that we're not mentioning, and I apologize for not mentioning it earlier. Some people hide their depression so well, you won't even know that they're depressed because they're laughing, they're talking, they're speaking normally, they're acting very much normal, but yet, like they say, they're laughing on the outside but crying on the inside.
Exactly.
Perfect example. Like, I could say, since we're talking about depression and suicide with celebrities, Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew what he was going through. Nobody knew.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Here's someone who was making people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere, we hear the news in 2014, Robin Williams committed suicide, that he hung himself. We're like, huh? He didn't give any signs that he was going through anything. He was perfectly fine.
Exactly.
But the thing is, we never knew what he was going through. We didn't know anything that he was going through, any issues, because all we saw was this guy that was making people laugh.
Mm-hmm. And you never know the trigger points for certain people. Like I give you another instance of another celebrity this happened to. This is going back some ways ago, but you remember the game show Family Feud?
Yeah.
The first host after Richard Dawson, his name was Ray Combs. He was a stand-up comedian, and the Family Feud was his dream job. And he hosted the show after Richard Dawson had stepped down. He hosted the show for about 7 years. Then the show had gotten canceled, and his marriage started to fall apart. He wasn't having the same kinds of feelings that he wanted in the showbiz world. And at some point, he ended up harming himself, and I believe he ended up committing himself to a mental hospital, and he ended up hanging himself in the closet of the place. So you just don't know with certain people what stimulus is, certain things that happen, where it goes from there. But as I said before, there is a light at the end of the tunnel if you get the right treatment and the right help.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, I have to move on to the next question because this is a very hot question I need to address to you guys until I get to the caller. This past weekend was a White House dinner for President Obama and with his guests. And there was a comedian, Larry Wilmore, who gave his jokes about, you know, certain people. But the controversy about the jokes that he created, that he made, at a statement, he called Mr. Obama my N-word. Is it appropriate to use the N-word about your president?
Boy.
Talking about is crazy. So he's getting backlash from that. Yes, he probably harm anybody. But once again, is it proper to use the N-word, period?
It's improper in all aspects of it. And
yes,
I'm tired of hearing other black people, other people trying to make an excuse to saying, instead of, you can't use the hard ER, but you use the soft A at the end. I don't want to hear that garbage.
No,
that is
that
one of the
most
destructive, disgusting words on the planet. Now, getting to your question, what I think the issue is that Larry Whitmore, I've seen him do comedy and he does The Daily Show. He's a funny guy. The problem is he didn't necessarily need to use that at the end of the correspondence dinner with the president because from what I looked at, because I got a chance to watch the whole stand-up thing that the president did and then see what Larry Whitmore said, he basically kind of went over some of the stuff that the president had already touched on. So it's kind of like, I guess as a comic, one of the things that you have to do is kind of like test the room to make sure you know what works and what doesn't work. And I think that that's what the issue is.
Yeah,
it wasn't needed. It was just too much.
If you crack up jokes, and I crack up the same jokes that you just said, I'm basically copying off of you, or you have to write new material right away or change it up or change up the joke a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I crack up jokes about Nietzsche being her sexual issues every week, but at least I change that up a little bit. That's why she's banging the dentist right now.
Oh, Lord.
But besides that.
Oh, my goodness.
3-5-6-6.
You know she's
going to
kill you when she gets back.
Oh, yes, she
three,
is.
Five, six. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Uh-oh. Talk about the N-word.
Uh-oh. Here he is.
The infamous.
Here he is.
Now, take it away. What's on your mind, lady?
Well, first of all, about that whole depression thing, it's a very serious issue, and I think as black people, we got to, you know, admit that we have a lot of these type of mental illnesses in the black community. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we need to first stop being in denial about the shit and get that help needed. Because, you know, a lot of things like this, a lot of abuse and stuff like that, it kept secret, it kept on the low.
Okay, hold on. Before you,
that hurts
hold
us out of hole.
I agree with you, but how this became a black issue thing? There's white depression, Asian depression, Jewish depression.
I'm not worried about white depression. I'm more concerned about black depression. Listen, white folks going to be all right. This is America. I'm talking about us. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I'm talking about us first before anything else. So if white people get depressed or whatever have you, that's their business. We got to take care of our thing. And I'm talking about us in that. White folk will easily go to get therapy. Most of the black community don't get therapy like that.
I will give Milton X this. is that there is a big stigma within the African American community about any mental problems, mental illness.
Well, it is true.
And
because,
yeah.
Well, pardon me, guys, for interrupting, but let me just say this to everybody, to all you guys. In the black community, we all know that it's strictly taboo to talk about mental illness, like, oh, it doesn't happen. Well, guess what? It's real.
Right.
Mental illness does happen in the black community, where we have people who have bipolar, we have people who are manic depressive. I mean, this kind of thing that's going on now with depression and mental illness, because we do talk about celebrities who have committed suicide, and we do talk about those who have problems. But according to some people in the black community, oh, it's not a black problem. Well, guess what? Milton X, I'm glad you pointed out, it is happening. It does happen. But do we address it? No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Okay. All right, so K-Dog, why we don't address this? Besides us,
because it's strictly taboo.
In general, we don't
because you know what? This is the thing. We don't think it's happening. We just say, oh, well, I had depression, please. That's other people go through it. We don't. Well, guess what? We do, because that's why it's a shame that whenever our children have a problem, because you see,
exactly.
In the community, when the children come up with a problem, we brush it off like, oh, please, oh, you'll get over it.
Right.
We don't
address it.
But then guess what? That child is crying out to you for help, and you're not listening to the child. Guess what the child's going to turn to? Other means. Either they're going to abuse drugs,
Okay, you know what?
Even worse.
You know what? I give Milton as the benefit of the doubt. I understand what he's talking about to a certain degree, because the highest ratio of depression and suicide are white men, especially rich white men.
Yeah.
Who have not been through a struggle, who have not been there, done that, who never have their lives cut off or struggle for a meal, compared to lower class people, especially the black community.
Well, am I right? That's the thing, though, Omrani. That's the statistics of people who admit that, you know, they kill themselves, or, you know, family members, they say they kill themselves because of depression. With black folk, it may be some other meaning, like, they may not say anything about it. We keep it a little hush-hush. The statistics ain't going to show that. You know what I'm saying? You got people out here now and doing drugs and doing this, doing that, and third. They keep that stuff on the low. And the depression is the same thing. So it's not going to show up in statistics like that. You understand what I'm saying?
So we handle it in a different form, in a different way.
Right.
We brush it off.
Brush it off,
and that's the
we out there just gang banging, or, you know, getting high, or this, that,
no,
the third.
But also, I want to point out something else. You know, as we talk about, you know, for me, my personal opinion, and agree with me or disagree with me, it could happen to anybody of any race when it comes to depression. It's anybody of any race. But according to some cultures, like Rodney and I, Our families come from Haiti. You see, in the West Indian community, whenever someone comes up with a problem and they're depressed, oh, please, get out of here with that. Rodney, am I wrong?
No, yeah, we brush it off. Because basically,
we brush it off. We brush it off like it's
survival.
Yeah.
It's called survival. Life goes on.
You could get over it. Oh, you could get over it. Get over it. It happened. Get over it.
Well, you know what? This generation today, they never experienced, like I said, the lights cut off, or 3 months built behind, or you never have any gas to cook, or there's no food in the refrigerator. They don't know that type of struggle. So they're not depressed. They're depressed now. It's different from us. So you think people are more easier now to get depressed compared to 20 years ago for us?
Well, the stress now, there's something else that people are not, that we're not pointing out. And I'm not saying anything about race. Let's leave it aside for a second.
Wait a minute.
Let's talk about something else. I'm going to be real.
All right.
Let's talk about something else that people are not looking at that also causes the bullying. Let's talk about how people live their entire lives on social media. How many of these young people out there who are being cyberbullied end up committing suicide? Let's look at it.
Well, people out there who are getting regularly bullied face-to-face commit suicide as well.
Yeah, I think the social media is just the 21st century type of bullying.
Exactly.
It is.
It's just a tool. It's not the problem, not the cause of it. It's just a tool how it gets down. You know
what I'm
saying?
Because people go on social media and slam the other person. And there was one girl that had committed suicide, and her tormentors were tearing into that girl like crazy. I forgot the girl's name, and I forgot which state she lived in, but she was a teenager that was being cyberbullied and ended up committing suicide, and her tormentors were laughing about it.
Yeah, I think I remember that case, so much so that they continued to bully her after she was dead, and they left horrible things on her Facebook page.
It's easy to pop shit on the internet because you can't get punched in the face. So it's easy to pop shit.
You know what? I agree with Milton S. A lot of people do talk crap on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
All day.
But like I said, some people make social media their entire life.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen,
they live their entire lives on social media.
At the end of the day, if someone disrespects you on the internet, you just block them or delete them, whatever.
Yeah,
that's it. Spam and keep it moving. That's all you really got to do.
But not everyone. Has that strong sheer whip. Not anyone has that strong will to do it.
To me, it's not even
because
strong will.
Button. Like I said, they live their entire life on social media. They live every day on social media. There are some people who social media runs their entire life. The minute they wake up, they're on Facebook. They're on Twitter. They're on Instagram. Now they're on Snapchat. So whatever it is, their entire lives depend on it. And that usually does lead to a depressed state, especially when they're being bullied or taunted in a way. They can't, they can't find ways to fight back. It's not like back in the days when you confronted a bully, you and this bully went at it toe-to-toe, but now it's all about social media. And that's the thing that we're not looking at.
All right. I have a question. This is off the depression. This is a different topic, but I want Milton X to answer this because he loves police. All right. We all know about Tamir Rice, who was killed.
Tamir Rice.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He was killed in Cleveland by the police in the playground, I believe, right? Because he was carrying a fake gun.
A toy gun. Yeah, I don't know.
So,
I've been playing with little toy guns, whatever have you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there was a settlement for $5 or $6 million for the family. I know no type of settlement will ever cover the damages of a lost loved one. But no matter, do you believe when it comes to these lawsuits and settlements from the police department in the city, should the money come out of the police officers' pensions in general to help?
Yes.
Stop police killing?
Well, whatever can hurt the police more, I'm for that. You understand what I'm saying? Because these police, race soldiers, whatever you want to call them, need to be punished as severely as possible for killing innocent black lives. You understand? So if that hits them harder in the pocket, so be it. Because to be honest, if it just comes off from the state government, that's $6 million to the price of doing business. If it comes from the police union and their pensions, that's going to hurt all the officers there, and that's going to put pressure on them. Like, listen, you may be the so-called good cop, but if you lose part of your pension because of the so-called bad cop, you're going to look at that so-called bad cop and say, hey, you mess with my money now. So you need to stop that shit.
And then that's going to start to tick. That's going to start to chip away at that whole blue wall of silence that everybody knows about.
Because
a lot of cops protect their own.
No, that is
because
true.
It's easy to have plausible deniability when your money ain't affected. Well, that's just me. I'm a good cop. I don't know what they do, blah, blah, blah. But now we hit you in the pocket for it as well. Now you got some skin in the game. Because it's going to take a lot to go against that blue wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
Sean?
It does.
Yeah. And we're starting to see a lot of these settlements. This is starting to become the norm now, where you hear about somebody victimized in the wrong place at the wrong time, cop does something the wrong way, it goes and gets settled, and yet what you're also starting to see is although the settlement is there, one, the police officer or officers involved, they don't have to actually admit any wrongdoing. Meanwhile,
yeah, yeah,
families
yeah.
get the money that they're getting, mm-hmm. and there's just millions
and
millions of dollars that are going to a lot of these places. We already know about the Freddie Gray case.
That money is just glorified hush money in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they pay them off, you don't hear the families talking that much anymore about it.
Exactly.
But listen, they're not families, or, you know, a poor or whatever have you, so they got to take their money and be quiet.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple examples.
I'm going to say
the money comes
about
from our pocket.
No,
that's
it does.
The
our pocket.
Exactly.
And let me just say this. You know what that money is telling you? That money's like, here, we gave you money, now shut up.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
not going to bring that person back.
It's the price of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
That's shut up money.
But at the end of the day, though, I can't blame the family for taking that money because you were a hardworking person and you got $6 million that can help you out financially in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I can't be begrudge them for taking it. You know what I'm saying? But the bigger issue is also, too, they know when they kill innocent black people like that, they violating their constitutional rights. And they don't want this to go to the Supreme Court in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
That's why they get that money and keep that squashed.
Well, you know what else, too? What else, too? Because they get away with it. And they know that the family is going to bring out a lawsuit against those police officers, against the city.
And you know it's going to be caught up in litigation for years.
Right.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, us black folk, we don't have the economic base that the Jews have, that the gay community has, that the Latino community has, that the Asian community has. We don't have that financial backing like that in our own community, so we can't fight that long. And they know that. That's why I always preach getting the economics together. But that's where this starts from.
And a lot of, like I said before, a lot of these settlements are huge settlements. We know about the Freddie Gray case. That's almost $6.5 million. We already know about that. The Samuel Dubois, I don't know if you remember this guy, but this was in Cincinnati. He got $4.8 million.
He was pulled over
by a cop because he apparently didn't have a license.
The campus cop.
Exactly.
Yeah,
pulled over for apparently not having a license plate. He decided he figured he's refusing. He drove off. The cop shot him, killed him.
He didn't even drive off. He was just getting for his stuff, going for a license, and the car moved a little bit, and the dude unloaded the clip.
And he just unloaded the entire clip.
Exactly.
And that was almost $5 million in that settlement. But also part of the settlement was that the city of Cincinnati decided to put all 12 of his children in undergraduate school free of charge when they're of age to go to college over this. So, doing business. Yeah. We know about the Laquan McDonald trust. That's $5 million.
Of course.
We know the Eric Garner one. That's not happening, although that's going to probably be appealed, and that's going to go through litigation. We know about the Walter Scott deal. That was $6.5 million.
Yeah.
Tarika Wilson, I don't know if you remember that one. This was in Ohio about a year or so ago.
Sean, you notice something here?
Mm-hmm.
There's a pattern of blind black people being killed by the police. We could go on for days and days and days. You know what I'm saying?
Look at what happened to Amadou Diallo after those four police officers were acquitted of shooting him 41 times. How much did they give his family for that whole thing?
Hell, what about Sean Bell family?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Sean Bell family.
Yeah. Now,
guys, thank you for the history lesson tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation is let's get Sean Black killed by the police so we can make some money out of it, you know, for the long run. Hey, someone has to take the bullet.
Why don't you take the bullet then? Since you love the white man so much.
Listen, I love the white man. I support the future president of the United States, and I have one foot in the grave already because I have too much child support.
Yes, Master. Yes, Master. You're going to be the good coon for Master, right, Rodney?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. So, talk about coons, since we have a little bit of time left. Look at this. What is your definition of a coon? Because you like to talk about it.
A coon is anyone who goes against their own, black folk, when people will sell each other out. People who will, you know, throw other black people under the bus just for white, so-called white approval. Like your Charles Barkley's, your Stacey Dash's, you know. anyone that goes against really the black community as a whole. Because let's be honest, when I talk a lot about white supremacy and things of that nature, white supremacy wouldn't be white supremacy without the help of the Coons. Hell, we wouldn't be here in America now if it wasn't for African settlers out, or if they're just over here. Coon has been for decades and centuries.
So if I'm working for the white man and I throw Sean underneath the bus because I want more money, I'm a coon?
Yes. You should have to throw that black man under the bus to be more successful. You should be successful on your own. If you had your own business, hear me out. If you had your own business and was bringing in your own money, you wouldn't need that white man approval. You understand? That's what we got to do for self. The Jews, they do for self. The Asians do for self. The Latinos do for self. The gays do for self. All the other races, the East Indians, they do for self. We want a white man to tell you all the time. And that's the damn problem. We used to do for self back from segregation, but when we started getting integrated, that's when we fucked up. We gave up all our resources for that bullshit.
So right now you're blaming the white man to bring us over here in general?
Well, white man did it, but also he had help. Don't get it twisted. That's why I say we, but some of these are out for a long time now. So before we even think about white supremacy, we got a clean house and grew all the coons and the better ones and the sellouts in our own community first. Then we can fight white supremacy.
All right, well, we have a little bit of time left.
I know.
What is your final thought, Milton X, on anything?
Okay. My final thought is this. A lot of you people out here, us black folk, we scared to death of Trump getting to be president. Oh, Lord, he going to put us back to slavery. Oh, Lord, he going to make us work. Oh, Lord, please. Like you went under the system of the white man now. What, Hillary going to be nicer to you? She fucking called y'all super predators. That's why the police out here now shooting us in the head because of that super predator mindset bullshit. Bernie Sanders is a typical white liberal talking all that bullshit. But when it comes down to it, when they talk about reparations, oh, no, it's too divisive. But when it's white reparations for the Jews, even though that shit, the Holocaust shit ain't happening in America, it happened in fucking Germany, oh, yeah, give us Jews the money. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, listen, even Obama, Obama this.
Obama wasn't even president when that Reparations Act went out. It was Bush.
But I didn't talk about reparations. I talk about in general, what has he done for black folk here?
What have we done
nothing.
For ourselves? What
See,
have we
see
done
that's
for
always
ourselves?
It's always a fucking excuse, Kermit. He ain't the president of the motherfucking leader, but he do for them.
That's how I see it.
K-Dog, what's your final thought?
My final thought, well, all I got to say is people out there, just listen to your children. You're going through depression. Hey, get your... And also, all I got to say is that we all got to look out for our own. Watch each other's backs.
And if I listen to Milton S. and K-Dog any longer, I might kill myself because I'm getting depressed.
Well, let's keep talking about shit.
But Milton X, K-Dog, I like to continue the conversation of coons. And next time when Milton X calls in, I want to talk about Black Lives Matter. So keep those topics in mind, all right?
That Black Lives don't matter. Right. Black money matters. Black purpose.
Okay. Well, guys, thank you so much. All right,
y'all.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
And happy Mother's Day,
guys.
By the way.
Yes.
Hey, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
All right. Peace, bro.
Okay.
Wow,
Sean.
That was eventful.
Yes. We got a lot in within an hour.
Yeah.
All right. I had a question, but I forgot.
That's why you're supposed to write these things down. You know, jot a note down here or there.
Okay, we got a couple minutes left. What is your What are your thoughts about Prince's death?
Repeat that again.
What are your thoughts about Prince's death? Is there something you want to say about that?
It's starting to look more and more like there was something he was trying to hide. And I think that from what we heard, there was a story, I think it was yesterday or the day before, about his personal chef that lived on his property for the last 3 years, said that he was having frequent stomach ailments and frequent sore throats, and he wouldn't eat food. He looked frail. He was losing weight. Whatever he was going through, it was his own personal demon that he was holding on to. He didn't want anybody to know about. And it's kind of sad that as we're going through this now, because we now know that Prince had no will. So all of his siblings, his only living sibling and half siblings, would be able to get to that money or whatever the value of the property is. That's the crazy part. And it's kind of sad because nobody knows anything yet.
Well, do you find it odd that a man with his status and his age, even though 57 is a young age, will have a will already a long time ago?
Yeah. You'd be surprised. If you have anything of any value, the best thing that you could probably do is talk to a lawyer, some sort of legal advisor, and find out what you can do and write your own will. You don't even need to have a lawyer. You can basically have something written down on paper, your thoughts, whatever you feel of anything that you own, if it's of any value to yourself, and then have it notarized, and then these are my wishes. Have an executor look at it and say, these are my wishes. Everything that I own goes to so-and-so. Or if you wanted to go and become a ward of the state or the city, you could do that as well. But it's important to do that, especially if you have children involved, because then everything gets tied up through legal, and you don't know what's going on.
Okay, quickly, what's your final thoughts? Make it quick.
My final thought is think of all of the people that are out there and make sure that you put yourself in their shoes instead of thinking that everything is not great. There is help for anybody that needs help if they feel either depressed or whatever they're going through. You're not alone. There's always somebody out there that you can lean on for whatever your situation is.
Okay, and my final thought is, I'll go read something for once. When I look back on my life, I see pain, mistakes, heartache. When I look in the mirror, I see strength, learn lessons, and pride in myself. No matter what you're going through in life, there's some negative and there's always positive. Look at your positive, because you always need a balance. It's never the end of the world. You can always hit rock bottom. There's nothing will go your way. But the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, never give up. No matter what. Always seek help. Always try to talk to somebody. Talk to a stranger that won't judge you if that will help you out.
Mm-hmm.
There's always help. And never give up. That's my bottom line. We will try to do a show this weekend for Mother's Day, because we have to talk about mothers, of course. And happy Mother's Day to your mother, Sean Black.
Thank you.
And to all the mothers out there.
It's safe to yours.
Thank you. And Mr. B is home now, sleeping. She had her fun night with the dentist. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to another great edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself, the High Rod, with the one and the only,
Sean Black. And for the absent, Anitra B.
I don't care about her.
Of course.
It's true. You know what? One thing before I go, I realize this. I do get a little bit depressed about two things in life. When
really?
I see my bar tab, or when I see a sex video of Anitra B.
Oh boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again. And as always, the pleasure was all
yours.
It's true. If you look at her sex video, it's very bad. It will make you really depressed, Sean Black. Trust me on that.
You want me to
get you a copy?
You know what?
Good night. Later.
Good night.